Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, I'm Brandon Peoples, and joined here this morning by Dennis Butler, Director of the Riley County Police Department. And we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about crime and some ongoing investigations here with the police department in Segment 3. We saw last month there wasn't a real major shift in terms of crime statistics for the Riley County Police Department. Has that changed any here for the month of April? I guess it would be. That would be the reporting period here in May.
Yeah, actually, getting that echo again, Brandon. At the end of March, after the spring break and then students were asked to stay home, you know, there was just a lot less activity here in the community. We did start to see accidents and calls for service and crime start to reduce. The month of April, it dropped like a rock. We're talking drops of over 50% in some of our crime categories, calls for service being down not quite that much, but double-digit decreases, accident reports down 60-some percent. But since the stay-at-home order has been lifted, we have started to see an increase in activity. So we saw that for a while. That was good from the perspective of our officers and employees were working so hard to keep themselves safe and taking precautions with personal protective equipment, donning it, taking it off, that having that decrease in crime really was helpful in allowing them to maintain their health as well. I know in other communities, not necessarily Kansas, but I read news reports, that was not the case. They would experience increases in crime, especially spikes in domestic violence. We haven't seen a spike, but it has remained steady. It's probably up just a little bit, but statistically it's insignificant at this point, but it did not drop like the other categories of crime.
I know recently, you know, and things change all the time here, but I know recently there was like a string of some burglaries in some vehicles. I think it was on the police report, maybe on Monday or Tuesday.
Yes.
And that's typical. I know that happens quite frequently, but when you see an uptick in that, is that a cause for concern?
Well, again, I didn't read those reports individually. I knew about what happened overnight. I can tell you from past experience, and I'm not talking about this one, it could have been a completely different MO, that typically about half to more than half of the cars that are broken into where items are taken, the cars are left unlocked. This was a little bit different, I believe. I think there were more that were forced into. And in fact, one, I think a garage door opener was taken and another house was entered and a car was stolen during the process. So, yeah, that is something that we don't like to see. But the way to prevent that or prevent that type of result is for citizens to not only lock their cars, but also any items of value that can be seen either be hidden in the car or taken out of the car. So there isn't the gain by the suspect of what they're looking for. When those steps are followed, especially having guns and computers taken out of the cars, then it's less fruitful for the criminal. But yeah, we're seeing activity like that. We've had, I don't have the details, last night we had a reported home invasion. The night before, a reported street robbery. Both of those things are being investigated. But yeah, we're seeing an increase in activity, and that's what we expected.
I know there's also, and I haven't heard anything on this in about the past week, and I know sometimes information's a little slow coming out, but there's been an ongoing search since early May for a local murder suspect who is wanted for a link to an incident in Junction City. He was believed to be in Manhattan. His name is Nathaniel Roderick Holmes. Any update on that case?
No, the only update is we did have some information that we thought he was here shortly after the homicides, and we followed up active leads on that for him and for the other suspect. It's not something that's dropped off our radar screen. We are proactive in trying to find these guys, but if they're not here, any information we would develop, of course, we would share with the jurisdiction where we believe they could be. So that is a serious case that we're trying to assist Junction City with. We work very well together on matters like this, and we will continue to.
All right. There's also been some scams. I know I was documented on your Facebook page for the police department earlier this week, and I thought it was rather clever, the way it was posed on there, that Richard Fink, I think, was the featured one, and there was another one that said Richard Sink or something like that. It was kind of silly, but this stuff really does happen.
Yeah, you know, until I arrived here, and I'm sure it's probably more common in other places now, these scams, whether they're email or phone calls, people will often get contacted, and the person contacting them will portray themselves as a police department employee or official. And that is very clever, and mostly it's unsuccessful, but anytime someone receives an unsolicited call, and especially if it's from a government agency, it's very easy for that person to say, give me your name and number, I'll call you back. And then what they do is contact that agency by looking up the legitimate number to verify the identity of either who called them or emailed them. It's an extra step, but it can be very fruitful. A lot of times when they ask for name and phone number, the person will just hang up. And this leads me to another tip. A lot of times when someone is scammed out of money, usually through a bank transfer, it's a very embarrassing situation when they realize what's happened. And I want to assure people, if they contact us immediately, once they realize it's happened, like if they make the transfer and an hour later they realize they've been scammed, if they contact us, there's a mechanism for us to stop that ACH from going through. And we usually have about 48 hours before the Federal Reserve, which all of these go through the Federal Reserve. We can contact our federal partners and put a hold on it until we can figure out what's happened. But what typically happens is people are embarrassed and then they don't report it. And by the time they do, it's too late. So one thing they should look for is these scams, and today's a perfect day to talk about this. These scams often happen on Fridays because banks are closed, or the administrative part of banks are closed on Saturdays and Sundays. So often these scams ramp up on a Friday. When you have a holiday weekend, the frequency is even higher because now there's a three-day weekend where the banks are closed. So I want to alert your listeners and the public, this is a prime day when those scammers are out there trying to separate citizens, honest, hardworking citizens and retirees from their money. So please be on the alert for it and call us immediately if you feel like this is happening to you.
And I love this comment here, by the way. I just have to read it. It's hilarious. It says, is it safe to say you've washed your hands of Captain Sink?
Yeah, you know, our PIO media specialist, she does a great job helping us communicate to the public about matters like this. And we think injecting humor into it is a great way to engage the community and also let them know we're serious about a lot of things, but we can poke fun at ourselves and in an effort to communicate more effectively with them. We think having that injection of humor is very helpful.
I agree. I think it's great. And Lawrence does a lot of that too in their police department.
Yes, I do.
let's take a break. We'll come back more with Dennis Butler here on In Focus. We'll wrap things up in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.